Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Brian London. He is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, which this year will go back to being a live event, actually a hybrid event too if you can't make it. But hopefully, especially for us Canadians, we will be able to travel freely and get down to that conference. I'm looking forward to that, Brian. Fingers crossed, as always. Now, Brian, let's talk about some of the market moves that we're seeing just today, because we're seeing a broad correction in the commodities. Now, base metals, those are pretty much all down. Copper's down almost 2%. Nickel, aluminum, zinc, those are all down. And the precious metals, those are also dropping even more than the base metals. Gold right now is down almost $40. Silver's down over 80 cents. That's 2% for gold and almost 3% for silver. Now, we did have some economic news, broadly good economic news, out of the U.S. today. Brian, do you think that is what is driving this correction in commodities broadly?
Yeah, that's exactly what's driving it. Good economic news, and which, of course, would carry the implication that perhaps the Federal Reserve would dial back on its easy money a bit, perhaps begin tapering its quantitative easing, perhaps beginning to thinking about raising rates, et cetera. So that has long been a bearish factor for gold, as well as for the broader equity markets, et cetera, because everything has been lifted by central bank monetary policy really over the last decade or so. In post-2008 financial crisis, everything's been driven by central bank money. Therefore, all the correlations are going toward one, and everything's been lifted upon and floated up upon a sea of liquidity. So anything that would indicate that that liquidity might be turned back a bit is negative for the markets and negative for gold, has been for a while. But what has been encouraging for me for gold has been that it has reacted positively to any indications of higher inflation. Now, obviously, higher inflation would tend to indicate or imply that the Federal Reserve would have to start tightening. But the market has seemed to have gotten beyond that and has been looking at gold as obviously an inflation hedge, which is its historic role. So I think that's positive, and that kind of counterbalances what we're seeing today. But still, any positive economic news is going to be a negative for gold. I think it will be for a while, and we're going to see more news like that. So we will have some bumps along the way.
One thing to consider, too, is that a lot of technicians have been saying that a bit of a correction is due, especially for gold because of that 2-month run it's been on. So maybe this is just a quick, short, hopefully, correction for gold. One thing that's also interesting to note, and you are right, Brian, that good economic news does then make investors think that the Fed might start tightening. On the markets front, though, the markets opened up down, dropped really early on in trading, but the S&P and the Dow have really fought their way back to pretty much neutral on the day, and that's very different than the pattern that we're seeing in the precious metals. Does that still just go to show that there are these buyers for U.S. equities that any short-term weakness, they seem willing and able to jump in?
To some degree, but I think the economy is really running hot right now, and we may be seeing a shift in the broader markets where they're starting to look at actual sales and revenues increasing and responding to that hot economy, and justifying perhaps higher valuations. So that may be happening. That might be what we're seeing here as well, because they did fight back, and gold has not been able to fight back itself. So that could happen. But that kind of a hot economy also carries with it higher inflation and exacerbates those trends that we've already been seeing toward higher inflation. And again, I think gold is going to be viewed more and more as the antidote to that and the place to be. So we're probably in somewhat of a shift in sentiment, or seeing that happen in real time. Who knows where it's going to go? I think longer term, everything's very positive for gold, silver, in the metals. But, you know, in the meantime, we're going to see some bumps in the road and some volatility. A hotter economy also is good for copper. And I think that we haven't seen that today. We've seen copper down as well. So it's kind of a broad bearish trend for commodities today for some reason. But I think we'll get beyond that because all of the longer term trends seem favorable.
And that's key too, right? Is that these longer term trends are still up and you get natural corrections during these type of runs. Let's drive down into the stocks because it's been a real mixed bag in terms of the stocks that have been benefiting from generally higher commodities prices. You look at gold stocks, and again, it's a really select nature in terms of what is doing well. You even look at copper stocks, and you can make the argument that it's not just a broad increase of copper stocks. So what are some of the stocks you've been following recently? Where has your attention been, please?
Well, we've actually been adding some new recommendations, really special situations in Gold Newsletter. Not so much thematic plays. You know, I do like mid-tier producers. I do like companies with big resources because I think we're going to see the M&A game kind of heat up at some point. Once that dam busts, then I think we'll start seeing some bidding wars for some of the better companies, better positioned companies with large-scale resources. But I can't pass up some opportunities here and there that just seem like they're very well positioned. We recommended in Gold Newsletter recently Trigon Metals. It's a company that's about to begin production in Namibia. Small scale production, but it will still be able to generate very significant cash flows. Cash flows have represented a significant portion of their current market cap. And at the current resource size, they have about a 60-year mine life, which of course means very little today, but does show the potential to really ramp up production levels far beyond where they will be by the end of the year. So that's a near-term copper producer that I think the market has completely overlooked. I like a drill hole play I just recommended, Ophir Gold. It has a project in Idaho that has a very high-grade historic resource and a sizable resource at that. But it is historic, and they need to bring it into compliance. They've just started a drill program to do precisely that. Now, it's a one-project drill hole play, so that's a lot of risk to go along with that very high potential. But that risk, again, is mitigated somewhat by the fact that there was gold found before a significant historic resource. And we'll see what the drill hole turns up, but the odds are much better in that regard that they'll be able to get some good intercepts.
Okay, so a couple different stocks there. Anything else, Brian, that you care to share, whether it is either still in any of the base metals or, again, drill plays? Anything else that's catching your eye?
Yeah, I like Libero Copper and Gold. You know, Libero was begun as a copper play. Then it got a great gold target on its Big Red property. The Ridge target that didn't pan out really essentially came up a duster in the last drill program. But in that process, they also discovered a copper porphyry on the Big Red target in the Golden Triangle. They're going back. They just announced that they're mobilizing drill programs for Big Red. And they also have two or three other very large either targets or resources in the copper area. So they're kind of transitioning back to being a copper play, and of course perfectly timed with the resurgence in copper. That stock has actually rebounded in recent weeks a good bit and advanced a good bit. But as those drill programs begin, I think it's got a lot more upside even before it starts to get drill results. I should mention that I personally own Libero and Ophir, but I don't personally own Trigon as of yet.
In full disclosure, I also own Libero, not Trigon or Ophir. Now, Brian, when it comes to these drill plays, then Libero and Ophir, the stocks have been rebounding, as you mentioned, into these drill programs. It's actually been one of the trends we've seen is stocks moving higher when drill programs start. But as results start to trickle in, are you going to be actively trading these stocks, especially if they are still sitting in these, I assume, a gain position for you?
Yeah, that's what you should do. You should take some money off the table because it is a big casino and you need to take your winnings and stuff some in your pockets as the game plays on. I don't do that very well, quite frankly. I kind of follow up these stories as we often do and hold too long for the upside. But, you know, I've only been involved in it for 35 years, so I'm trying to learn as I go along.
Can't teach an old dog new tricks, or maybe you can.
It's difficult to teach an old dog, but, you know, that strategy or that kind of default strategy that I end up with has also resulted in some outsized gains for the really big winners along the way. But I'm learning.
That's okay. So are we all, Brian. And you know what? It is nice to see money come into these stocks as drill programs start up. Clearly shows that investors are still encouraged for what's going to come from some of these drill programs, and seeing some gains early on, it's never the worst time to at least maybe lock in some of those gains. But everyone's different as an investor. Brian, great chatting with you. Thanks for taking time on this Thursday. I hope you have a great rest of your week and a great weekend.
You too, Corey. Great to talk with you.